Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news and specializing in track days, club racing, and
great entertainment.
We truly do it all. And this week, we are brought to you once again by JK Moto Entertainment, your one-stop shop for all your motorcycle track day and club racing questions and answers. Go ahead and give us a subscribe on YouTube and go follow us over on Facebook and Instagram at JK Moto Entertainment. We are the one and the only, at least as far as entertainment goes. There may or may not be other JK Motos out there in the world doing other stuff, but that is not us. We just side on the side of entertainment. Yeah. With that, our standard kind of weekly announcement of the whole, this is going to be greater than an hour. So if you don't feel like watching the whole thing, we completely understand. Go check out our RSS feed down in the description. Click the link and go find us on whatever podcast platform you love and give us a follow over there in that direction. If you're listening and you haven't checked out the YouTube channel yet, actually go check it out at JK Moto Entertainment and subscribe, as I already said a few minutes ago. We are here at Stable B. I'm Easton, your host. This is
Kelly,
your co-host, and we're going to be talking about MotoGP round 19?
Yeah, it was 18 last week. That makes it 19 this week.
18 plus 19.
It only took us like most 19. Of the season, but now we actually know what the numbers are every episode.
Well, now that we're like tracking it and thinking about it, it does kind of sit in my head. Round 19, MotoGP, we were down under in Australia. Somehow the bikes stayed glued to the track. Must have been real sticky tires this weekend.
Some of them stayed glued to the track.
That's true. A couple of them did just kind of not do that. But they didn't, like, fall off.
That's true. A couple of low sides. It was it looked like all the same corner, or a few of them were the same corner. That sweeping, like, that left-handed turn. You watch the cams, and they're going, and then they're going not the direction they want to be going.
Yep. Australia. Oop, hang on. I got a sneeze.
Bless you.
Right into the mic. Australia is one of those tracks, man. Like, I think most of the MotoGP riders still really like it. Still got, like, it's not this big, long, high-speed track. It's technical, it's nice, it's different. F1 doesn't even go there, supposedly. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some MotoGP, and also, quick announcement. I got to get this out of the way. It's kind of sad. I've been putting it off, but 2026 will most likely not have a JK Moto podcast in it anymore. Aside from possibly a few episodes here and there, we're not going to be able to do our regular weekly, or not so weekly, scheduled show. So you're looking at the last few episodes coming up here. We've got a few more rounds of MotoGP, and we might do a couple bonus episodes as the year ends out. And then you can expect some bonus episodes throughout next year, maybe, as we get some guests or whatever else. But we will not be doing the normal MotoGP coverage and whatnot. However, we still will be hosting a JK Moto Entertainment MotoGP Fantasy. So once again, make sure you go click over to the Instagram and Facebook. Give us a follow on there and turn on notifications or whatever so you can be up front or on top of it with all the news that's coming.
Current?
Up to date. Yeah, current. Up to date. Those words. Good words. With all the news that's coming out. Anyway, with that, we'll go ahead and roll a intro and then we'll hop into it.
My first track day, I got the pictures back and I was like, I'm never doing that again. On the ground at 100 miles an hour.
Why did you like run out of gear? Because he went up in RPM, and then he acted like he wanted to shift, went bop, 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 but then you didn't ever shift.
It's because I was coming up to the corner, didn't think I had enough time to grab that last gear, just thought I was going to hold it where I was and then roll off. Downshift, and going for it.
You wasted time.
Yeah, wasted time.
And we're back. MotoGP round 19 in Australia. It was Australia. Joan Mir crashed. Marquez wasn't there. Bagnaia did terrible.
So last week? Question mark?
No.
Joan Mir crashed. Bagnaia did terrible.
Okay. Mark was there last week, so. Oh, man. You know, before we get started, we gotta knock out our fantasy for the week. And, oh my goodness, the man in first, known as Shifty, had better be looking out, because the man in second, known as Shaky Moto, came away this week as our weekly point winner with 164, almost 30 more points than anyone else out there. Still has a boost left, somehow, and is now only, let me do the math, 4 plus 3, carry the 7, is 7 points away from first place. He is about to snag
Who's Cam Head's team? Does he still have a Marquez on it if he does?
Cam Head?
Yeah.
Cam Head's down in third and only got 83 points.
Who's first and who is second for...
So Cam Head did still have Mark on it.
I think that's not helping right there.
Yeah.
Because I ran out of trade, so I still have Marquez, which is not good.
Let's see. Shifty, who got... He got plenty of points. He got 136. He got rid of Mark.
Oh, okay.
He just had... Yeah, whatever. But Shaky Moto, our man that won the weekly point winner, has Bez, DG, Alex Marquez, Pedro Acosta.
All top five people individually easy.
Yeah.
Except maybe he flirts with it.
So, which is weird because he got 164 points. I got 128 and a half. I think my issue was I signed Bagnaia because I thought he was going to figure something out.
The lie detector turned out that was a lie.
Yeah, because I've got Marco, Bez, and DG, and then Quartararo and Bagnaia, and then I still have Lenovo, which is just a horrible idea. But I couldn't make... I tried making two rider trades.
But the budget wasn't there?
No, I was good for it. I just picked the wrong guy. I thought Bagnaia... I figured Ducati was going to figure their stuff out.
Well, the problem is Ducati figured their stuff is Bagnaia is not figuring... Bagnaia is unfiguring it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe Ducati's unfiguring out, and then Marquez was just that good, but now Marquez is... not there, so now we're seeing how bad they unfigured it out.
Right. And I would have got rid of Lenovo, but I couldn't make a team trade and two rider trades in one weekend. So, anyway, not a big deal, but that's where we're at. Chitsal's still on lockdown, otherwise I would do it right now. 0 out of 2 trades remaining. But yeah, so we got 3 weekends left. It's looking a lot like Shaky Moto might just pull straight to the front, especially because he does still have that one boost left, and apparently, you know, he knows how to pick a team pretty well.
He sees the vision.
He does. So stick with it. Reach out for us with... It's early, man.
Reach out to us for your weekly point-winning prize.
Thank you. On Instagram or Facebook, send us a DM. We'll hit you up and we'll get you that prize sent over.
I had to take that out. I was about to mess it up. I was sweating.
Stick it in 4 low. Oh man. Well, I think
Where do you want to begin?
I don't know. I was about to say that I was gonna let you do the whole podcast. Because I'm a Mark fan and Mark wasn't there this week. So I don't care anymore.
Man, must be nice. All of my people I really, really enjoy before coming to this season are all not performing. I like Bez now because of his recent performance, but if I was going to tell you like Bez before the last couple weekends, I'd be lying, right?
Yeah.
Quartararo's my boy. He can drop a mean hot lap in qualifying, and then I get to watch him fight for his life every weekend as he loses P1 to everybody, to include the not Ducatis. Jorge Martin, when he decides to ride, if he doesn't crash out and hurt himself more, which is, I hate to see it. But Pedro, though, Pedro had that dog in him.
Pedro does have some sort of dog in him. That's for sure. Yeah, Pedro's surprising me more and more. But I'm trying to figure out, like, what type of rider Pedro is. Because
he's willing to put it all on the track and leave it there.
Yeah.
He's willing. The problem is sometimes he'll roast a tire in the process and you'll see him, like, fall behind.
Right. And I just, yeah, I don't know.
He wants that podium. Has he won a GP yet?
Pedro? No.
Pretty sure he's gotten P2s and P3s on podium, but no, he's won yet.
He has not won a race yet.
The few times he was in first, I think he crashed out last year. He was battling with Bagnaia back when Bagnaia was good.
Yeah, at the end of the year last year when he kept doing that. Yeah, Pedro, because when he showed up to MotoGP, he was younger than Mark when Mark showed up.
Yeah, the commentators would not let you forget it.
Yep, he had the opportunity to take that record away from Mark Marquez, one of the few people left in the world to have that opportunity. And then he wasn't able to do it. I think he had till Germany last year to get it done and he never did it.
Did not stick.
So, but yeah, I mean, I forget that Pedro was just a rookie last year. And I think it's because they talked him up so much last year and then he didn't quite perform like they said he would. And so in my head, I have this almost negative connotation towards him because he didn't live up to what everyone told me he was going to be.
I think one of the problems with Pecco is, Pedro Acosta is, not that he didn't really live up, he did not really live up to the expectations that they were putting on him, sure, but he started off the season pretty strong, but then you would have a whole bunch of instances where he would like come fight for a position, roast his tire, then fall back, not even end up on podium. And then I felt like he was went through like a period where he was recalibrating, because like the next few GPs in the middle of the season, no one talked about him. He was like, he was like, maybe get top 10, maybe not. And then toward the end of the year, you really started seeing him again. And now this year is like, no, he's always a talking point. Which I think, if for only, 2 years in MotoGP, I think that's pretty good. You got a lot of people who come up and nowhere has been.
That's what I hate about it. From satellite team to factory team. I have this built-in negative connotation towards him because of all the hype that was around him. If he hadn't put the hype there and it had just been, check out this rookie, dude, I would have been a huge Pedro Acosta fan. But there was all this like pre-built in hype coming in, and it didn't stick around.
That's how I feel about Agüero. It's like, hey, check out this rookie. Sometimes he does good. Sometimes he's all right. All right, keep it pushing. He's a rookie. He'll do rookie things. Yeah. But Pedro was like, oh, look at all this over here.
Well, and they came in. Everyone's talking. He's the shark. He's Pedro. He's amazing, and he just won the championship. Which, keep in mind, most of the rookies that come up from Moto2 come up winning a championship.
Turns out that's one of the ways you move up from Moto2 to MotoGP is you win a championship. They're like, hey, this guy's good.
So that's nothing too crazy. But then everyone started throwing around, this is the new Marc Marquez. And
it's a good narrative. It gets the people going. It sells tickets. It increases hype. It's a marketing thing.
Yeah, it is. And I'll give you that. But it was difficult for me when he didn't come out and just start winning right off the bat. And like people are like, well, just give him a second, I'm like, so he's not. Then. This is not the narrative you're trying to sell. You're making stuff up. And I think that's what really threw me off. And it just sucks now, because I really want to like Pedro Acosta, but there's something in the back of my head like, no, you can't like that guy. And it's all for no good reason, right? So anyway.
That's your Aaron Mark fan. All I'm saying is, when you were in a conversation about KTM this year, there were two names you heard coming up. It was Maverick Vinales back when he was riding before he got hurt, and it was Pedro Acosta. And right now, Maverick Vinales hurt, so the only name worth talking about from KTM right now is Pedro Acosta. He's the only one bringing that bike up to podium. Everybody else getting a top 10, like, sweet, KTM's doing KTM things, but he's on that factory KTM bike, and he's pulling results significantly better than anybody else in the KTM satellite or factory garage.
Yeah, I mean, in the sprint, Bastianini's down in 10th, and Brad Binder wrecked out.
Bastianini had like one good weekend, and then he just went back to doing Bastianini things.
We go to the race, and we've got Binder and Bastianini in 8th and 9th.
Every time Binder gets up there, like he wrecks or something bad happens.
Yeah.
I have to look and see if Binder even has a top 5, to be honest.
Well,
or how many he has.
Realistically, that started with Binder last year, because the year before that, he was doing quite well.
He was in contention in the beginning for like a little bit, mm-hmm. until he wasn't, but like... Now it's
I don't know, because they like two years ago, the KTM Binder package was about to be the scariest thing on the grid for anyone else, because they had been together so long and KTM looked like they had finally nailed the speed. They just needed a little bit more of getting the power down to the ground.
They do have the speed. I love watching them, like, on the straight. You just watch that KTM just show you how much speed it really has.
Oh, yeah, and their starts are amazing. But that was the other thing, too, is that was the year that Binder would, like, he couldn't qualify for crap, but he would start in 15th and make it the second by the first corner. And it was, like, almost every weekend, without a doubt, here's Binder just all the way through the whole lineup. And it was, oh, man, it was nuts. It was nuts. And now,
the opposite of whatever Quarter R is doing this season.
Yeah, but it's just nowhere to be seen anymore. And I don't know if that's a KTM is gone, or it's difficult, because we've been talking about it all year. KTM's had these financial issues. Did that hinder their development over the winter?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you'll take this. Do you think Pedro Acosta for KTM is the Marc Marquez for Honda, where the bike isn't good, he's just that good, and he's performing, whereas the bike is holding him back? And if we got him on a better bike, we'd see significantly better results. Possibly. Because no one else in the KTM was even doing anything except for Maverick Vinales, so maybe it's not as drastic as Mark and Honda. But like, well, Bender's been there for forever. Like,
keep in mind, I'm gonna say that is quite possible. I don't have an opinion on it yet because I haven't thought about that narrative. But now that you bring that up, and I sit here and I think about it, maybe. Yeah, maybe. My bigger question would be, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to compare him to Bastianini because Bastianini was on a Ducati for so long. And this is his first year on KTM, which I know there are other riders out there that are doing fine for their first year, but
Bezzecchi, first year on Aprilia.
Yep, but
granted,
it's still,
his first half of the season, he was figuring it out.
Yeah, I think it's still kind of a hard comparison to make. The place that I would say that you're really able to make that comparison is with Brad Binder. And yeah, it's possible.
Unfortunately, that's just one data point, so it's like I would like to compare it to more. But
yeah, it's difficult to tell, and I think hard to like really say yes, absolutely, because Acosta hasn't ever done amazing on the Honda, if that makes sense. So you think about it, right? Mark went and won from 2016 to 2019,
yep,
with a couple splashed in front of that also. And in 2019, he was untouchable. 2020, he wrecks. 2021, he comes back, kind of. 2022, comes back, kind of. 2023, he's back on a Honda, right? The last time we saw Mark on a Honda for real, he was untouchable in a championship. Now we're seeing Mark able to pull some top fives when there's no other Honda anywhere to be found, right? You compare that to Pedro. We've never seen Pedro win a championship or win a race. Or absolutely dominate a season or anything.
That's true. Mark Marquez analogy might have been an extreme, but I just wanted to highlight, like, he is pulling something out of that bike that other people can't in his garage or the satellite garage.
I mean, absolutely. And
I'm curious to see what that talent would look like on something like a Ducati.
Yeah, that's what sucks is, like, he is one of those people.
Maybe the 24, not the 25, question marks.
I think him and Quartararo and maybe even Maverick, but I just don't trust Maverick's consistency. But I would say that Pedro and Quartararo are the two people on the grid right now that I would love to see on a Ducati and see what they can do. Because everyone else, like, we've seen, and we've seen that, yes, it makes them a little better. Like, Luca Marini. You know, Mir, I guess we haven't, but Mir's just so far.
Look, man, if he can keep the bike up at the end of the race, I think that's all we need to see from him.
Yeah, which maybe he could on a Ducati. Maybe put training wheels on it.
I'm curious to see what the vibe is like between him and Luca Marini behind the scenes. Because, like, Luca Marini keeps the bikes up, and sometimes he'll get, like, top 10. It's like, hell yeah, Honda.
Yeah.
And Juan Mir is like, did he finish the race? Yes, no, maybe so, probably.
Well, that's what's crazy. I mean, they're talking now about the fact that Marini hasn't actually put the bike down at all this year.
That's great. If you're the team, that's great.
Yeah.
You're getting good data. You're getting top 10s, and he's not putting the bike down, and you're doing better overall than some other teams, like, the other Japanese teams, or the other Honda, with the exception of, like, Zarco and Quartararo are the only people I feel like are worth mentioning off the Japanese manufacturers. You have Jack Miller, if he can keep the bike up and get a good placement. It's like you can get one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Alex Rins, who, outside of that a couple weekends ago when he gave us a show, like, what has he been doing for most of the season? That being said, there are times where Quartararo falls back from first to behind him, so I don't want to, like, trash talk Rins too much. Rins, whatever he's doing, he's at least consistent.
He's consistently bad? I'd rather have a guy that half of the season does pretty well and then falls back than a guy that I forget exists until one random weekend a season.
That's fair.
That's
fair.
Yeah, he's consistent. Consistently sucks.
And then I forget who the fourth Yamaha rider even is. I think it's
Oliveira.
There we go.
Miguel Oliveira. Yeah, Oliveira.
I keep wanting to mix him up in Raul Fernandez because they were in the same Trackhouse team last year.
Oliveira is a tough topic for me because multiple years ago when he was on a KTM, I think, pretty sure he was on a KTM, he did really well at the end of the season. And I think he even won a race in the rain, and he was an amazing rain rider. And he came back on the Aprilia, and I thought he was going to do absolutely amazing, and he did not. And
none of that brilliance was to be found.
Yeah, it's just kind of dwindled off into nowhere. And, you know, the hard part for me is that I feel like there's a finite number of years to really set in stone that you were going to be, like, the guy. Sometimes you have an alien, if you will, like Mark, who comes in his rookie year, takes it, and takes it from there on out. But for most people, you know, the last 5 years has actually been quite eye-opening for MotoGP for us because we've seen more of what MotoGP would normally look like, I think. You say that, and then you're like, well, but normal is having one dominating guy, so.
Not always, I feel.
No.
Like. It definitely comes in waves.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's going to come in.
If they had one dominating guy, that one year Juan Mir got a, was that championship with Suzuki?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened if they had one dominating guy. He won it off just being consistent. If they had one dominating guy, he would have had easy P2 in that championship, or three.
Yep, and that's the hard part. But anyway, so you get a rider, right? You get a rider that comes in as a rookie. You look like Pecco Bagnaia. He raced for, I think, 2 years as a rookie before he went to a factory team. And then when he got to the factory team, he lost his first year to Cordoraro, right? And then after that, he won for 2 years, then he lost to
Jorge
Martin last year. So that's kind of more of, and Cordoraro was the same way. You know, Cordoraro came in and he was on the Yamaha. He was on the, what was it back then? The freaking, oh man, it was like a teal greenish blue color. Patronus?
Patronus Yamaha.
He was on the Patronus Yamaha, the satellite team. He did that for a couple of years, then he went to the factory team, and then, you know, he was fighting with Bagnaia. Then the year after, he was still fighting with Bagnaia, but couldn't hold it, and then Yamaha just kind of dipped off after that. But that feels like what is more normal, but it still feels like you have a finite, like, I'd give every rider's got about a five-year point, right? A five-year window from I entered MotoGP to I'm going to secure a championship, or I'm basically just going to kind of
meander somewhere in the middle of the grid.
Yeah. And so anytime I'm looking at a rider, like, Bez is getting real close to that end of the five-year mark.
But he's doing stuff.
He's doing stuff now. So kind of, like, reignites that hope. But, you know, at what point do you say it's just not going to happen? He just can't quite do it. Like Maverick. I had someone trying to argue that Maverick Vinales was the guy last year. That was his season. It was his year to take it. And did he have the performance?
He wasn't consistent.
Yeah, he wasn't consistent enough to do it. And Maverick's been here for years, like many years, a long time.
I also think if you want to be the guy to have it, you'd have to have such a good performance track record for that season before you even have that conversation. If we're five races into the season and you were on the podium for like two or three of them, unless like a previously, like P2 for the championship, P3 for the championship, or previous championship, I don't even think you get to have that conversation if like you don't have the consistency for that. Like Maverick being the guy for the championship, that's wild. Like I thought never crossed my mind.
Right, that's what I thought.
And I've seen Maverick win. Like I like Maverick.
Yeah, but he just, you know, he can't hold it out.
Yeah,
he can't for some reason can't do it.
The only reason I was so high on Jorge Martin stocks the last couple of years is because like I would see it going down to the wire, him and Bagnaia. It's like 2 years in a row, and I was like, he could have this, and then he would win every sprint.
Yeah,
or most sprints, and I'd be like, clearly he's good.
Yeah.
Whereas Bagnaia was the same thing. I'd seen him win so often and be a previous championship. I knew he had the potential. Cuadraro, I love him to death, but I didn't think he was going to take it in the last 2 years because of the way Yamaha's performance has been. I understand he had it the year he had it, and he competed the year after that for a little bit before Yamaha fell off. But like after that, I was like, where's the objective quality evidence? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
There's no chance, but. I don't know, it's a little rough for me because, like I said, Miguel Oliveira had this, like, he felt like he was there, felt like he was ready to go, and then we lost that.
It's also scary because you go through, that five-year period, and as you end up on a satellite team or a factory team that's not really performing, it's like you're a multimillionaire and you're making a fat bag,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you're making good money. But, like, career-wise, you could be making more if you were doing better on a better team. But, like, it feels like factory team, satellite team, on the way out. Yeah. Test rider, and then barring like someone needs a replacement for a test rider or something happens where they need a rider who like meets the qualification to be picked up, where you get plucked back into like a satellite seat,
mm-hmm.
which has happened a few times, which I feel like that's like Luca Salvatore this whole year is like him just riding for Jorge Martin because he's been broken.
Yeah.
And then whoever's riding for Maverick Vinales right now, like, oh, was it Pol? Pol Espargaro?
Pol Espargaro, yeah.
Like, he retired,
mm-hmm.
but he's making guest features because someone's hurt. So then after that, you're done riding. Like, that's the progression. Like, yep, boop, 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 boop. Guest feature, gone.
Yep. Yeah, and that does feel imminent for many, many of our people out there. Unfortunately for Jack Miller also, which is weird because, you know, Jack Miller got a lot of fame this weekend being in Australia.
That broke my heart when he crashed out because he was, like, top five.
Yeah, he was doing doing real well. In the sprint, he did real well.
Yeah, got P4.
Held up pretty well in the race.
I think that's his best placing for the season.
Yeah, well, easily.
For like the last couple years.
Easily.
Yeah. Easily. And he's on track to get top five again, I feel like, before he crashed it. And like he, yep. When they showed his face, he just looked broken. I was like, I'd be broke, dude.
I don't know exactly what's going on with Jack. And, it doesn't help that he's on a Yamaha, but he's never been amazing. And he was on a factory KTM last year and still didn't pull it off. You know, so, like, that's what's rough for me is that he, when he went back to KTM, because he was on KTM in the beginning, when he went back to KTM, it was supposed to be this.
Yeah, because he was a Ducati. He was a Pecco for a little bit.
Yeah, and...
But he got replaced by Bastianini.
When he went back to KTM, it was supposed to be this, like, reuniting the family or whatever, and it was supposed to be amazing for him.
That did not last long.
No, and he didn't show up with that, what was promised, if you will. Which maybe I just need to stop listening to people and just listen to myself and be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But I want to listen. You know, I want it to be true. I want Pedro Acosta to come in and be the new Mark Marquez. And even with Mark, you know, still being there, me being a big Mark fan, the sport needs another crazy rookie that's amazing.
There was a statement I read, and I don't know if it's true or not. So I just saw it on the internet and I blindly trusted it. But it was like Carlos Sainz, who's like a Spanish driver who drove for Ferrari, now is Williams. He said, Mark Marquez is the Ayrton Senna of MotoGP. We just don't realize it because he's still riding.
Still there.
And as soon as like he stops riding, we'll all realize that he was that guy.
Yeah.
How many years has it been we still talk about Senna, like as a culture in racing, right? Mark Marquez, like we're going to be talking about him for years to come. Him and Rossi, talking about them for years to come. And he's still in his run.
Yeah, that's like
he has crazy. He has not stopped yet.
That's what's crazy. That is what is insane about it. And the interesting part is that he might try to beat the actual all-time
goat. Yeah, the 15 or the 16?
Yeah. Which, I don't think he needs to get there to do it. I think he 100% needs to beat Rossi.
He'd be riding his 40s. He does not need to be riding his 40s. He has enough success to never ride again. He can stop riding today if he wanted to.
Oh, he could.
He's doing it for the love of the game at this point. He's proven a point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just a fact.
Because like,
came out and said that.
Even if like Pedro Acosta, who we're saying is the next Mark Marquez but isn't winning, even if he had a quarter of the success of Mark Marquez, you would say that's a successful career and he would go down as one of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
You'd tell me if you had, Mark's at what, 8 right now? 9? If you count the two, Moto 2, Moto 3, so he's at 7.
Yeah.
If you got 3 MotoGP championships and you stopped there, you'd go down as like a great. Like this guy was fantastic. So even if Pedro Acosta only did that and did not live up to the Mark Marquez allegations, that's still fantastic, which is wild to show you just how good Mark Marquez is. And I'm not trying to glaze Mark Marquez. I'm not trying to do that. But like those numbers are wild. Those stats are wild.
It is pretty insane. I always think about Casey Stoner.
Got 2 championships and dips.
Yeah. You know, people talk about him like crazy still. He's still so like, you see Casey Stoner on the grid or like, Casey Stoner's helping Pecco Bagnaia. And I'm like, I was looking at the stats between the two the other day.
What, like, that was like, what, 2009 was his last MotoGP season?
No, like 2007, I thought.
Exactly.
Pull up his stats real quick.
That's like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Casey Stoner. That's wild. MotoGP stats. 38 wins. 2 world championships, 07 and, okay, so 11. So not quite that long ago, but.
Okay.
38 maybe wins, not quite 20 years ago,
but the better part of it.
And 39 poles in 115 MotoGP races.
So how long was that, 15 years ago right now? That's wild.
Yeah.
That is like 15 years later, his name's still coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows you how young these guys are when they get into the sport. I don't blame him. He like had a kid and then was like, all right, I'm done. And I do not blame you. I don't blame anyone for that.
So, yeah, so that was Stoner. I just want to bring this up real quick because we're still talking about him. We're talking about how Stoner is such a big help to Bagnaia and all this stuff, right? 38 wins, 2 world championships, 69 podiums, and 39 poles in 115 races.
Starts.
Okay. Pecco Bagnaia, 2 world championships, 39 wins, 29 in the MotoGP class. And it doesn't give me the rest of his 39 wins all classes, 29 in MotoGP, 51 podiums in MotoGP.
Still fantastic
24
stats.
Pole positions.
I just want this in half the season a total to reflect of, that, though.
Yeah, so a total of 107 races ridden. That's what he's done. So, like, he hasn't quite caught up to what Casey Stoner's done total or the number of wins or whatnot. But, like, Bagnaia and Stoner realistically are...
similar in
pretty
stats.
Much the same, yeah.
About two-time for Ducati?
Yeah. Well, Stoner won on the Honda, I think, in 2011.
One Honda, one Ducati?
Uh-huh, pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. Someone correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. But
they're going to clip that and be like, wrong.
Yeah.
clip that.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's, you know, it is interesting because I would argue that Pecco should go down in history. Unfortunately.
I think Pecco will go down in history. I just think, like, if Marc Marquez was in the grid right now, we should be talking more about Pecco. Granted, his performance has not been up to snuff this season. But if you don't look at this season, which is inherently Marc Marquez's season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I talk shit, but, like, he's still a two-time... like, I can't take that away from him. He's still a two-time MotoGP champion.
So here's
Acosta
why...
Acosta could win every race from now to the end of the season, and we still say Pecco's a two-time champion. Like, it doesn't detract from that.
Here's where I think a MotoGP rider can make a big mistake in their legacy, and where I think they can diminish the amount that we talk about them. And it's going to be when they continue to race after their championship wins and not perform. Yeah.
They peak, and they don't stop.
Because you look at Casey Stoner, 2011, he won, then he was gone. Yeah, he won his second world championship.
Left on that high, effectively.
He was gone. So we're going to remember him as a winner. Look at Joan Mir. What do you remember Joan Mir as?
I remember Joan Mir as a guy who can't get the bike up.
Yeah, the guy that crashes, right, every weekend. Look at Quartararo right now. If he left next year, what are we really going to remember him as?
The guy who single-handedly kept Yamaha together.
Okay. But also the guy that just couldn't quite do it, was obviously a good rider, but he couldn't quite do it, as opposed to the guy that won a world championship for Yamaha.
Yeah, that bike's holding him back. That's what I remember.
Yeah. But I just, you know...
I'll hop back on being a Cowie fanboy. Yamaha keeps doing this to my boy.
I think that is where it can go bad, and that's what Pecco's going to run into, is that he won for 2 years. You know, he fought hard for a year, won for 2 years straight, and then fought hard for another year, and then this season looked like he was going to fight hard, but wasn't quite able to do it. If we don't see him pick it back up next season, he's going to start to fall by the wayside. And what that turns into very quickly also is Ducati ain't going to keep the dude on if he can't keep up his performance.
No.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at it, they signed Marc Marquez when they already had a Bastian Nini who performed plenty well enough.
He did do well.
And was Italian and had a future. Was
very, very on brand for their...
Yeah, right. Would have been, and if anything, was a little bit worse than Bagnaia, so their star player could have stayed at the top. And, like, you look at what happened last year, I think I'm very glad they took Marc Marquez, but I wouldn't have been surprised at all if Ducati had been playing politics a little bit and just kept Bastianini on. Because we knew Jorge wasn't going to stick around at Pramac because Pramac was going to Yamaha. So even if he did, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So we knew that as long as Jorge didn't get on a factory bike, he wasn't a problem at all. We keep Marc Marquez somewhere else. He wasn't going to stick around on Ducati at all.
Yeah, Marquez, I'm going factory where I'm not.
Right? So you probably would have ended up with Jorge and Marc both on Aprilias, and then you would have had Bagnaia and Bastianini on the factory Ducatis. And
my issue is I still think Marc Marquez would have dominated. He would take like a half a season to learn that Aprilia, and I do think he would have rode that tractor.
And we know
the Aprilia is good for it. Cause look at Bez right now.
I was about to bring that up. But yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, before Bagnaia had his issues and before Bez really grew into the Aprilia, I think it would have been a tough looking season.
It would have been a very different looking season.
And you know, politically for Ducati, you also think about the fact that Marc might only be here for another 2 or 3 years. And I imagine that was, you know, part of the conversations they had with his managers, like how long is he looking at racing? Manager probably said something along the lines of till he stops winning.
Especially until the end of the season, and he was still winning toward the end of that season.
Yeah, but I do also think that is such an important part of the reason that Marc came back, or an important part of what just happened, was the fact that Marc re-solidified the fact that he is actually one of the greatest, and he didn't just go down in history as this guy that couldn't come back from his big injury, which, you know, he wouldn't have, but you spend however long. I think he would have done that if he hadn't won the championship this year. If he had shown up and not quite been able to do it, I think he, one, would have retired, and two, would have gone down as the rider that can't couldn't quite bring it back. Because he, one, wanted to beat Rossi, and then two, it, you know, he would have lost his edge. What we saw this year was the old Mark.
Yeah, sure, but he just stood in, what, a six-time MotoGP championship?
Yeah, and that doesn't go away. Don't get me wrong.
Grant, he did have some rough years after that post-injury, but, like, it's an injury. Everybody understands big injuries. Like, no, it's one thing if you get a really big injury and then you just don't come back from that, even despite trying. That's different than just falling off.
Yeah.
Like, that is so different from falling off. Like Juan Mir hasn't had a big injury of note. I'm not saying he hasn't been injured, because he probably has had some injury crashing that bike. But it's not like he's been missing GPs because of it. If you, like, miss half the season, you stop racing for a year because your injury is that bad, and you come back into the same, everybody gets that. It's when you, like, show up consistently and you just are not performing. Like, Pecco has not been performing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The fact that the announcers had the audacity to say that there are people in Moto 2 that were matching Bagnaia's time during the race weekend.
Why did they do that to him?
They did not have to do him like that.
Why did they do that to him?
They did not have to do him like that. That was dirty what they did.
Oh, that was horrible. I don't know why they would do that to him. You know, that brings up a good point, though, and that, you know, a good question is going to be, what is going to happen to Jorge? You're a Jorge fan.
I am a Jorge fan, but I'm also realistic.
Like, so if, what, you know, what are we going to see? Is he going to come back?
I think realistically next year, either Jorge has a decent performance. If Jorge has a middling performance and he doesn't figure it out, I think he's going to do one of these bad boys. Because he doesn't have a whole lot of time on the Aprilia. And when he does, like, if you get the top 10, we're happy for that. But I don't want that to turn into, like, he's, like, a top 10. That's the best that he can do on that bike next year. I do think he's really good. And I do think he'll figure it out. And I do think he'll get back near the front. But if he doesn't, what does that look like? Which is one of the things I was vocal about last year.
I think Jorge has the one thing that every racer needs. But it also can be the downfall of every racer, which is the tenacity of, I just want to win. And I think Jorge is my personal opinion of him is, and it's been to his downfall quite a bit. That's why, you know, the two seasons that we saw Bagnaia win and then Jorge win, both of those were nail biters to the very end. And a lot of that was simply because Jorge would push and push and push and would push himself right over the edge and wreck the bike out.
Yeah, I just want to see him get better, come back, and see what he can do. I'm tired of, like, him crashing, hurting himself bad. I just want him to heal up, come back next season, and run it back. And I want to see next season what I thought I was going to see this season.
I don't disagree with you.
Because if Bez can do it, I know Jorge can do it. I know, he just needs the time on the bike, but he keeps not getting it because of injuries and crashing the bike.
Yeah.
Not as often as Juan Mir. Got to toss that in there.
I don't think anyone's crashing as often as Juan Mir. No. Man. Yeah, I hope Jorge comes back. I think Jorge's, like I said, he's got the attitude. He's got the I want to win. And that is great for racing and great for watching. Because it gives that fight, you know, like, no matter where it's like Mark, it's like Pedro, no matter where they are on the grid, you're going to see these guys pop up and go for it. And we're starting to see that from Bez. I'd say that Bez in the back, like before.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing it from Bez. That double long lap penalty, dude.
Yeah.
Still get back on podium.
Yeah. Bez is fighting hard. Bez knows that he can do it, which is saying something to Aprilia, honestly, because that means finally give him a bike that's
I gotta pull up these standings. Where's Bet? Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. He is.
Yeah, he did in fact do it.
He did in fact take it from Bagnaia. Sweet. Now let's see if Bagnaia can fall behind Pedro Acosta in the last round 19. We got three more rounds left.
Yeah, three rounds left.
Bagnaia is moving like he keeps moving. Maybe.
It's possible. It's possible. 40 points.
Bez did the thing I said. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Bez did take, you know, did take third place. He's not going to take second, I don't think.
No, I think the gap's way too big between him and Marquez for three rounds. It's almost like a 90-point gap, looks like.
Yeah. But
he would have to get P1.
I wanted to say that I don't think Bez was necessarily that rider in the past. He's always been one that, like, when he's good, he's good.
I don't think
you're not going to see him.
I don't think we saw this at any point when he's with VR46.
No, I mean, we saw him win a couple races, you know, and in the rain he did pretty good.
With VR46?
Mm-hmm.
Like that?
No.
Like, well, Bez looks like Bez is looking hungry this year.
He was one of the ones that's what I'm saying. There's a shift between Old Bez and Besnow. And the old one was a man that would occasionally have a really good weekend or a really good race. And outside of that, it's kind of like VR46 right now, where like, yeah, they're there. They're pretty good. Sometimes they've got some good battles, but not really.
And they're getting consistent top five, so I'll give them that all
day. Yeah, which is fine. And that's what he was doing before.
Like, of the non-Lenovo teams, it's Aprilia, VR46, and Gresini. And then KTM.
Yeah.
But as, like, a team, I feel like VR46 does better than KTM because it's not really KTM, it's Acosta.
Yep.
And it's not really Gresini. It was Alex. Allegher has had some phenomenal performances recently, but he's crashed out these last couple of races, right?
Yeah, but also Gresini, the thing with the VR46 is, one, they're coloring, but two, it's usually both of them right next to each other.
That's what I'm saying, and they're both up there.
Yeah.
Like, as a team, consistently, they're both, because it's not really Aprilia, it's Bez. It's not really KTM, it's Acosta. And it's not really Gresini, it's Alex.
Yeah.
Recently, Allegher. But the VR46 boys, it's been both.
Yep.
It's a package deal up there. So
yep. And they're right next to each other in the championship too, and I don't know. Yeah, they've got eight points between them.
Yeah. That's just Morbidelli crashing out one more time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think that I wouldn't put Bezzecchi in the group of the tenacious riders that I would with Pedro and Mark and Jorge, and that's really all I would put in that group. I would have probably put Bagnaia in that group back in the day, but he was such a robot where everything had to be perfect, or it wasn't.
Yeah, either like you had the perfect condition set for him or like you didn't get the performance out of him.
Yeah, and I feel like Quartararo I want to put up there, but I would say the same thing. Quartararo knew when he couldn't perform, and I didn't have that like that fight or that drive. Like Quartararo isn't the racer to go burn through his rear tire for the first half of a race just to be up there again. You know, because they're like, people could do that. You could put a soft on it. You know it's going to be sticky for the first half of the race and just go have fun and then absolutely lose the tire and lose the race at the end. But if that was your plan and you were in the top five for some of it, you got some camera time, Quartararo is not one to do that. And I don't have an issue with not doing that, but there are other racers that I feel like might do that because they want to have that time up front. Bezzecchi is one that I wanted to put in that category, but now, lately, I'm starting to wonder. And the only reason I'm starting to wonder is because we've seen him do some pretty incredible stuff, and it's been consistently week after week. And I don't want to just hop on this Bez bandwagon. That's you? You're hopping on the wagon?
I don't believe it.
Give me the wagon. I'm on it.
I'll drive.
I will.
After that Silverstone win, I was like, all right, he got the win. And then he's been having consistent performances. It was after I saw him start battling with Mark for a few of those. Like, this was like a couple weeks ago, like months ago at this point, I guess. When he was battling with Mark, and like when Mark finally got past him, he didn't like install a gap. Like he'd been doing it everybody else all season.
Yeah.
And then I saw that and I was like, what you doing there, dude?
Where is the wagon? Is there a wagon coming?
And then if it wasn't Mark, it was Bez. And I was like,
yeah. No, I was gonna say the same thing, right? Is that one of the big shifts was that he is up there with Mark, staying with him and battling with him and actually giving him a run for his money. Yeah. And as soon as Mark's gone, yeah, Bez is still right there, you know. And then these past two weekends where, like, he does seem to actually have a fight in him.
It feels like the next couple weekends are his to win now that Mark's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the only person keeping him in check was Mark, because Mark was just being Mark.
Yep.
But, that one race where, like, Mark finally passed him and did not install that gap he'd been doing all season, I was like, yeah, I'm hopping on this bandwagon.
Yeah, because there were two or three weekends in a row where it was Mark and Bez at the end, both just trading fastest laps of the race. Yep. And that was the other thing, too, is that, you know, they talk about Bastianini, the tire whisperer, which I freaking hate.
They say it every time. They say the beast, they say tire whisperer. But they haven't been saying it recently.
Not as much, but they have said it this season.
If Bastianini gets up there, they're like, Bastianini, the tire whisperer.
Yeah, here he comes. You know, you know how good he is late race with the tire. I'm like, no. No, I don't.
I don't. Look
at Mark and Marco Bezzecchi and show me how good they are with a freaking tire, because they're literally last five laps of the race just trading off fastest laps of the race with each other over and over and over again. And they weren't going slow before that.
Nope.
And I guess the difference is that you do eat up more tire when you're riding behind someone as opposed to just out in front by yourself. And so, you know, whatever, but I don't know. I'm hoping, you know, next year we're basically at the end. I think the standings are pretty well solidified up. Bagnaia could keep falling down if he just keeps getting no point weekends.
He comes back next year hungry, and he shows us why he's a two-time world champion, but he'll have to like reset that over the break. I don't think it's happening in the next couple of weekends.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Especially now if they announce to have the gall to start comparing him to Moto 2 times. They've been slandering his name these last couple weekends in a way I thought was excessive, but that when I heard that, I was like, yo, they do not care anymore.
Yeah, that... I
thought that was disrespectful.
I don't know. Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, you get... It's weird to be saying that like that because you look at, you know, Mark, even when he was doing bad, all he ever got was 6-time world champion. This is just so sad. This is bad. But, you know, he...
I'd be curious to look at Chantra's, like, lap times to see if he's comparing to Moto2. I think it's the second rider for the Cash Doll colored Honda ones. Yeah. Was that LCR Honda?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Factory Honda?
It's LCR.
What's Factory Honda's name? Just Factory Honda? Like
Castrol. So Chantra doesn't belong. He's on the Samikat LCR Honda.
The green and white ones.
No, that's just Juan Zarco.
That's what I'm saying.
That's Castrol also. But that's Castrol LCR Satellite. The other Satellite Honda is a single bike by some Japanese company. Samikat or something like that.
And that's what Chantra's on?
Yeah.
Okay, that...
Well, actually, that's just Chantra's first name. Hang on. I'm getting things mixed up, but it's not...
Whatever he is.
Yeah.
He came from Moto2. I feel like if he had Moto2 times, they wouldn't have ever said that. And he's been a backmarker all season.
Idemitsu and Castrol, LCR Honda. The rest of that conversation... sorry, we had some battery issues. But it's okay. We were kind of just figuring some things out. Honda's weird. Moving on.
Hey, Fernandez won the race Saturday. P2 in the sprint Saturday, won the race on Sunday.
He did. Yeah, Ralph Fernandez, I meant to look up when he joined. I think he was a rookie 2 years ago and had last year. Yeah, because last year he was on Trackhouse. This year he's on Trackhouse again. Yeah, he took his first race win. Ralph Fernandez, weirdly enough, this is what's going to piss me off next year, is the fact that what manufacturer would you say has had the most success through the season this year?
Ducati.
Okay, sorry. Most forward progress.
That bars Ducati out because they went from the front to the front until Mark left.
Some of them.
It have to be either Aprilia or KTM. I guess because Bez actually at the front now, it'd be KTM. Aprilia, because KTM's not at the front yet.
Interesting. So I wasn't even packing KTM in there at all. I was going to pack Honda up in there because of Marini's success and Juan Mir's almost success at the end of the season. But I would say Aprilia, 100%, right? Aprilia we've seen go from nowhere to everywhere.
I only say that because I've seen KTM go from the back to podium, and I haven't seen Honda go from the back to podium. They've definitely gone better, but they haven't ended up on podium. They've been close with Luca Marini specifically.
Yeah, but they had like a weekend where Juan Mir didn't put the bike down. That's a miracle.
that's not Honda. That's Juan Mir.
No, that was a miracle.
Okay. Back to your point.
So, point being, Aprilia is on the list of has had most forward progression this year. I will not put Ducati on that list at all because I think they actually have gone backwards.
They unfigured it out?
Yeah, and... I say that because we're gonna say that Mark Marquez is this like
okay
you're doing a scientific experiment. I'm not gonna say Ducati, one off.
I'm not gonna say Ducati unfigured out anymore. No, it's just Pecco because DG and Franco Morbidelli
you're finally on the page.
Yeah,
I got you there.
Yeah, because DG and Franco Morbidelli have been doing just fine, and one's at 24 and one's at 25, and they're both doing better than Pecco.
And what was I saying at the beginning of the season?
DG has a 25.
No. Something about Pecco sucking, and you were like, "No, I don't know."
No, that was Bastianini. You were saying Allred sucks. I'm applying the same logic that you're applying to Bastianini. I'm applying it to Pecco. I'm standing on business.
But the issue is
he's a two-time world champion. I will not detract from that. That being said, he sucks this season.
The issue with that I'm radicalizing. I said Bastianini sucks because he's not on a Ducati anymore. Bagnaia is still on a Ducati. Anyway, we got to get back to Ralph Fernandez.
Stop
my whole point with
front end issues.
My whole point with Aprilia.
DG should have it, and DG's on podium.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. It's just kind of funny. But
a light bulb
what will piss me off next year is when we show up for 2026 and Aprilia is right back where they are at the beginning of every year where they just don't know what they're doing and they can't figure it out until halfway through the season. The other issue
I think they're ending on a high. I think if they keep Bez,
freaking
they'll be
hope so.
It'll still be Bez. It'll still be Jorge Martin. I've got standing by for heartbreak.
I would like to say I agree with you, and I sure hope so, because but Bez has been consistent for a few weeks now, and that is something we didn't see with Aprilia, with Maverick or Aleix, right? Maverick a little bit last year, I think had a little bit for a few weekends, but that was about it. So I really hope. I also hope that Honda continues up, because I would put them on a pretty good progression train. Luca Marini is consistently doing top 10s right now.
You know who's not consistently doing top 10s right now? Quartararo.
Yeah.
Which is like a wild statement to say.
That is a little rough. But what's sad is that a consistent top 10 should not be a feat. That should not be like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. That should be this is the bottom of the barrel.
Okay. I think that bad. Quartararo is doing consistent top 10s. It's just not in the way I would like to see it. I want to see top 5s from him.
Yeah, that's fair. But I look at where Honda was, and they were absolutely just nowhere to be found, and now they're doing consistent top 10s with Luca. I want to see that continue its way up. I want to see consistent top 5s, top 6s. So, anyway, I'm afraid that's not going to happen. That scares me for next year. The other thing that scares me is how much are we going to see... I am predicting that next year, at least after the first half, after the summer break, if not even a little bit beforehand... On testing weekends, we're going to start to see a lot of parts and pieces from 2027. Because we already actually saw it a little bit this year. They were trying to keep that under wraps, but there were some teams that were supposedly doing, they had tuned their engines down to mimic the 850s, and they were putting the 850 front ends on the bikes to try and get just a little bit of data to start building from.
This makes sense if you slap any of the test riders who aren't going to be up in the front.
Yeah, so I'm willing to bet we start to see a lot of that come next year. I don't think they'll be able to race those engines at all. But, yeah. So, there we go. We finished out, and we did mention 2027. So, everything will be okay.
That's how I know the recording's going to stick this time.
Yeah, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. But, anyway, that's going to finish us out for round 19 MotoGP down in Australia. We got 3 rounds left. We're going to head to Indonesia.
Indonesia.
In 2 weeks, I believe. Sorry. We just came from Indonesia. We're heading to Malaysia.
Malaysia.
In a week, actually. Not 2 weeks. In 1 week. And then 1 week after that, maybe? No, 2 weeks after that, we'll be in Portugal. Then 1 week after Portugal, we'll be down in Valencia. Yep. So, man, that's... Dates always weird me out.
We got like a month of racing left. I think we'll be done by the end of November.
November 14th is the last one. Or something, or 16th or something.
It's like poetic. That's the end of my motorcycling for the year of like 2025. It's like it ends in November. We'll do one last big trip. We'll have one last MotoGP round. And then that's it.
It's sad.
I guess like new tires, fluid change out, winter maintenance.
Yeah, and you just kind of sit in your garage in the winter and you get sad.
Now, speak for yourself. We're down south. We can still ride on the street. Oh, you don't ride on the street, but you could if you wanted to. Or go to Florida. Hold up.
Hey. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's crazy. There's options in Florida.
You know, like, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see.
Put a pin in that one. Yeah. Maybe go to Daytona next year. That's like February, right?
Daytona is on my dream list as far as riding. You're talking about going to the Daytona 200?
Yeah.
It's March.
March?
Usually around Daytona Bike Week.
You still could cool. go. Ride Daytona. They do track days down there.
Yeah, I got to find... Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen plenty of video.
We're gonna end this so we can talk about plans for riding. And if you guys want to see an episode on plans for riding, you just let us know and you'll watch us compute where we're going and when we're doing it.
Yeah. But, so, yeah.
For now, thanks for watching and or listening. Once again, check us out on YouTube and our other podcast platforms. And just a friendly reminder, this podcast is going to be going a little bit way less consistent for 2026 and onwards. So just be ready for that. Don't want to surprise anyone and go nuts and just disappear. But that's the truth of it. But stick with us. We got a few rounds of MotoGP left. Don't want anyone leaving just yet. And stick with the fantasy. I forget his name, but Shaky Moto, he's got 10 points to go and he'll be there. So... yeah, excited, happy that you guys are here watching with us and listening, and we will see you all I guess next week for Moto
GP.
GP.
Have you ever drug your knee on the ground at 100 miles an hour?